Hi, this is Philip Meyer, welcoming you to another episode of Talking About Platforms.
And we are Daniel Trabucchi
and Thomas Buganza, the co-hosts of this podcast, where we present and discuss relevant discoveries from the field of platform research.
In every episode, we have a guest sharing with us one of his or her latest insights on platforms, starting from a paper, a project, or a book to make it accessible to everyone.
And with that, let's just jump right into the conversation.
All right. Welcome to the first episode of the Talking About Platforms podcast, season 3. This is a bit of a special episode because we wanted to introduce the season and also introduce some changes about the format, minor changes about the format, big and important changes about the team, and provide a little bit of background on how it came to this project, starting this project back in 2021, basically. But before we jump into that, I say hi to the audience. My name is Philip Meyer. I'm very, very glad to have now recorded a very exciting set of episodes for season 3 that are about to be launched. I'm sitting here digitally with my now two new co-hosts, Daniel and Tommaso. And yeah, before we jump right into this first intro episode, I have to say hi and hand over the words to you that you can also say a few words.
Hi, Philip. Hi, everyone. You said it right. We are not alone this time, and we don't have a guest, but we have a new regular co-host. I'm very happy to welcome you on board. Hi, Tommaso. Welcome.
Well, hi, everybody. And thank you to Philip and Daniel for inviting me to be co-host of this podcast. I'm Italian, professor of leadership and innovation. And I'm a platform lover. I'm co-author with Daniel of a book titled Platform Thinking. And basically, I spent the last year working on platforms. And it would be a pleasure to be co-host with you and to, you know, have chats with all the guests that we will have this season and hopefully in the next ones.
Well, we are not starting with the usual question, what is a platform to you? Because we are getting there in a while talking about the book. And I think that our usual listeners actually know something about used to be mine and ours perspective on platforms. But we can ask him, what do you say, Philip? The usual other question that we ask our guest, which is what brought you to study platforms?
Well, this is a nice story. I was living in New York City. It was 2012, and I was visiting professor at Parsons School for Design. And actually, I found that I had some time, free time, which I normally don't have in Milan. And I started running in the morning. And given that running was so boring, I downloaded an app that was called Zombies Run. The app was super nice. And you run in a park, and at a certain point, you're chased by zombies. So you need to accelerate a lot. And that triggered into me, well, first of all, the love for running. And second, the idea of the question of what do they do with my data? So how do they adapt the service exactly to what I'm doing every single day? And starting from there, I started, you know, making some research about this. I started traveling in the Silicon Valley to meet some of the startups there. And it all started in this way. And I discovered that there are data and there are platforms and the new wonderful world opened in front of my eyes. And after some years, actually, I had a PhD student, but that's, you know, that's a different story that you should know about, because that PhD student was actually Daniel Trabucchi.
Yeah, you know, writing the set list, the schedule for the episode, we realized that Philip and I never really introduced ourselves, so we thought this could be a good occasion to do that as well. But if you agree, Philip, I would jump in Tommaso's story, since I think I'm the next chapter in a certain
please do so. Please do so.
I think 1 year after you came back from New York, it was exactly 10 years ago. It was October 2013. I attended one of his lessons. It was not even his course. And it was presenting that idea of research that was related to data and apps. And I've been asking for a thesis on that topic. Well, we make a long story short. Tommaso never replies to email, but you replied to that email absolutely by chance. And I started doing that research. Well, that the thesis, he actually pushed me to change the topic of the thesis more than once, even though if now he is making yes with his head, but usually he neglected it. And everything started there. We started studying platforms from the use of data into digital services to make them free. So at the beginning, a platform was a business model to sustain free services in our view. And then the PhD came, and then platform thinking arrived. And in the meantime, we met Philip, right?
That's correct, yeah. And that's probably a good time for me to take it over and also tell a bit about the emergent story of the format. Right. So I had the opportunity to build a marketplace for 3D printing capacity within one of the big German automotive manufacturers. That's what got me excited about this idea of building a multi-sided platform, and got me so excited that I also thought about doing a PhD on a topic and diving even deeper, coming from a more practical background and then understanding the theoretical concepts behind it only after going through an actual practical project, and joined the research institute. It co-initiated a reading group for platform papers and thought that it could be a very cool format to not just meet in a small group, read the paper, discuss the paper, but also bring in the authors of these papers and have them participating in the discussion and maybe even expressing additional ideas and background information about the piece that didn't make it into the actual written paper, because everyone here, at least in this digital room, knows that there's a lot that gets cut off during the process. And then also Daniel was, I think, our common denominator here. We wrote a paper together, figured out we both like podcasts, figured that there was no proper format talking about platforms, and that's how we started. And that's the journey since. In the beginning, and this maybe brings us to the changes for this season, in the beginning, we tried to stick very closely to academic paper discussions, really growing from this paper discussion format and coming from this paper discussion format, bringing in scholars and discussing their work. And for this season, we broadened the scope a bit. Do not stick to one or two papers extremely closely anymore. Of course, we want to touch the work. We want to dive deeper into the work that our guests have done in the path of their careers. But we don't frame it around one particular piece anymore, but rather around topics, around projects. So to give also the guests a bit more space to touch a bit broader topics and allow us to go beyond individual works, individual papers and make it just a bit more holistic, so to say, on an episode per episode basis. We also touch additional new topics that we haven't touched in the past. For example, looking at cities as platforms, also bringing on additional scholars or scholars and practitioners who thought a lot about decentralized architectures and blockchain-based platforms and ecosystems. Also, the role of the public sector, public infrastructures, is something that we talked about. So this is also very, very exciting new ground often for all of us But we learned a lot, and I hope the audience will so too. Okay, there's one more for this intro episode, because although we try to broaden the scope for the episodes a bit, we now come back to talking about a publication with our guests, and we would like to talk about your book, but also the concept behind it. Daniel Tommaso, what is platform thinking?
Well, we define platform thinking as the ability to use platform-based mechanisms to unlock opportunities for digital business transformation. And this is, in a certain way, the continuation of what we were saying before. So we started from data, what we call orthogonal platforms. So this idea that you gather a lot of data from one side, from the end users, and that this data aggregated and anonymized, obviously, can be actually shared and used by other customers to the platform to actually create and capture value. And we started from there. We enlarged it to other platforms, but both of us come from, well, Tommaso's first come from research in innovation management, and platforms were somehow a new topic in the research landscape of our research group. And after studying them as startups for a lot of years, we were kind of missing the connection with established companies we usually have in our research. And we start wondering how these two things can actually be bonded together. So how platforms could actually become a tool to foster innovation, a kind of innovation strategy for established firms. And that's where the idea of platform thinking was coming from. We started my PhD with this goal that was bringing back the idea of platforms in the innovation literature and not remaining in the strategy literature that was probably the predominant back then. And I had this dream of writing a book. So I don't know, it was the first year of PhD, probably. I start saying, Thomas, one day we'll be writing a book. One day we'll be writing a book. Till, I don't remember when it was. It was February 21. Yeah. February 21, we were getting ready for a course. We were working on this process that is in the book. And when Tommaso saw it the first time, had a very strong reaction and said, it's time. I was like, come on, it's time for what? It's time to write the book. And we saved these 3 weeks in our agendas, the autumn later. And we actually used Airbnbs around Italy in beautiful places to escape our usual routine and go there to write the first book of a long series that is Platform Thinking, Read the Past, Write the Future. Tommaso, what do you say?
Well, there are a couple of things that probably are worth to be said. The first one is that we come from innovation field, and if it's even more, we got something in our DNA which is connected to the university and the kind of research that we've been doing since ever. So Politecnico di Milano was actually founded by companies, and it's still now a public university with very strong relationships with companies. We are kindly invited to work with companies, to do projects with companies. So it's a kind of research that is very connected to reality. Because this is what we are. It's an engineering school that really wants to have an impact on the real life of companies. And along with that, in our research team, many years ago, we started working with designers. And that changed, again, our perspective. Because typically what researchers do, they look to the reality and they try to challenge the existing models and theories and so on. And then you know, if you find in the reality something that cannot be described by the existing literature, oh, that's like super wow, because now you can adapt the literature or create a new model and so on. But typically, this is a sort of reactive approach. So you see something new and you try to describe it. What we learn from designers, and this is a specific kind of research, is design research, is not just to observe passively the reality, but also trying to shape it. So once you understand how it works, why don't you do something to change it, to make it happen? And I think that in a certain way, the two perspectives are included into the book. So the book is, read the past to write the future. And read the past means having the competencies to fully understand the existing platform. So what was done before? Typically, managers and also many researchers, we look at platforms, so we consider platforms as, you know, just one thing. Reality is that the platform world is very complicated with very different possibilities. You've got transactional platforms, you've got orthogonal platforms. In some cases, the customer is a target. In some other cases, the customer is a source for information and so on. And if you are not able to completely read and understand what has been done, it's then very difficult to do something new. So typically, you build on the shoulders of giants. And this is the first part of the book. But the second part is, how can you do it? So it's not just a matter of understanding what people did before you. It's how can you do it by yourself? And of course, just because you understood, now you're able to do it. But it's not that simple. So what we did, we developed tools and methodologies. There is a tool that is for finding idle assets. There is another one for finding new relationships. There is a whole semantic approach to talk about platforms in a different way. So the second part of the book is very actionable because this is the kind of research we do. We want to add companies and establish companies in the first place to actually draw new platforms in the future using some tools that we created based on what we understood looking at the past. So you got the two perspectives in the same place.
Very good. I definitely like this approach to learn from the past and from kind of established and working approaches to not just building platforms but building business in general. I think this is also something that was often mentioned during the past episodes for season 1, season 2, when we were talking about what companies should think about when building a new platform, particularly the new business. The first and foremost, most important thing is you need a customer that's willing to pay before, because you can solve a problem for them, right? And now going more and more into this like decentralized architectures and caring about developers and emerging platforms and so on and so forth. In the end, it's pretty simple. You need to have someone who gets enough value out of using the system to pay so much money for it that the system can at least kind of continue to operate and make a profit. I think this is a very, very important first step. When both of you were talking and all three of us are familiar with the university context, you said the business school, at least in Milan, was founded by companies, or is a very, very close, constant interaction with a set of companies. How much platform thinking is there in the university, maybe in your or in general? How do you embrace platform thinking in the day-to-day if you're not working with companies but working in your university profession?
I don't know if we have the same answer to this. Well, I like to say that we do our best. We try to practice what we preach. And that's probably the thing that, at least for me, make platform thinking so interesting. After 10 years of research, I have no plan to actually change the research field, but I would like to stay there. Because as Tommaso was saying, our university as a probably not a so usual DNA in a certain way, and it gives us the freedom to experiment different formats, different things, different activities. The podcast was actually one of the first unusual things we started doing. And since then, many other things happen. We have courses on Coursera that were actually they came just before the book and actually helped us in crafting the structure of the book. We founded a conference that is a same platform to match scholars with practitioners. We have the tool that Tommaso was mentioning available on the Miroverse. We start recording video abstracts for the articles. And last year, it was March 2023, so still this year, we launched the Platform Thinking Hub, which is an observatory where we do practice design science research with established companies. We had 10 partners, very, very large and established companies that are trying to look for new customers for their customers in a certain way to build platforms. So I think that's where we try to have platform thinking in our, well, I cannot say in our university at large, but at least in our work at the university, trying to get various pieces together that enter in a sort of interdependent path.
Yeah, I would add that, I mean, there is this thing in many organizations and also in our university, there are some existing platforms that we are not fully aware of. And this is interesting. So it's platforms are all over. And in many cases, we just don't know that it's a platform. So we do not fully perceive the high potentiality of this. So Daniel was mentioning the MOOC for Coursera. And I think that is a great example of platform thinking, because we discovered that there is a specific part of university, in our university. So it's a group of researchers and technicians. And what they do, they did investments in, video recording systems and, places to record and technologies. And they do research on new ways for teaching. And basically, they created a platform because on one side, they create these MOOCs that are then delivered on Coursera or on the Politecnico free portal. And on the other side, they have us, so professors as customers, because they help us in understanding how to do. They do the large part of the job. They do all the editing and post-editing and all the graphics and everything. So they provide an internal service in order to provide an external service. So they serve two sets of customers. And it was very nice to see that, again, we imagine that there are some potentialities in all the organizations, and also in our organization there was this one and many others, so I got different examples. But the super nice thing was that managing this this part of university, when they started listening to us, I said, this is what we do. So basically this is what we are. And so they became a big fan of platform thinking. So I think that it's all over, and in many cases we are not fully aware of the platforms around us. And once you understand it, you can probably start exploiting even further all the potentialities that you didn't see because you didn't fully understand that it was a platform.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. That's why I like so much to talk with you and also talk additional guests about platform thinking, interpretations of platforms in different contexts, and how principles, mechanisms are embraced, understood, used, and explored. I think this is why we started the podcast. I think this is why people stuck to it now for soon a third season, and this is, I think, also why all three of us like to do research and also practical implementation of platforms and the concepts around it so much. And with that, I can only say, Daniel Tommaso, thank you so much. Thank you so much for recording another extremely exciting season. I hope many, many more to come, exploring so many different contexts for platforms. I, of course, we will link your book, and the other materials, the course, and so on that you mentioned in the show notes. We will also link all of our social media appearances or contacts on LinkedIn and so on, so that listeners can get in touch if they want to leave us some feedback and some comments. We're very, very open and interested in that, and can only encourage everyone to hit the subscribe button on their favorite platform, podcast player, which often also is a platform, so that they don't miss an episode. And leaving a comment, leaving a review also helps us to get more reach and spread the word. So yeah, super excited. Thanks to you guys, and let's get this going.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talking About Platforms.
You can rate the podcast on every major podcast app. This helps us a lot in growing.
Visit talkingaboutplatforms.com to get the links of the short notes, reach out to us, and see the previous episodes.
Hear you in another episode to talk about platforms.